Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Around from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, the ever-popular podcast version of the show. It's just like the radio show, just moves faster. It's called the John and Ken On Demand.
What?
Who?
John Cobell On Demand.
Or John Cobell podcast works, too.
John Cobell podcast. And type in any combination of that. Or don't. And you could hear the show. Yesterday, a big success. We were at the Honda Center in Anaheim, and we were collecting signatures for this referendum that would massively rewrite Prop 47. And the short way to explain it, as we were doing yesterday, it makes theft a crime again, makes drug use and possession a crime again, and makes fentanyl selling and fentanyl killing a crime. Period. There's three provisions in it. They all poll really well. And we have to get 550,000 legitimate valid signatures by the end of April. And they're up to 500,000 before yesterday. And we got, you know how many signatures we got yesterday? Is it how many John Cobell show listeners showed up? 1,300. 1,300.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I mean, that was a big crowd. It was a steady stream. And what was really good is nobody had to wait very long. I gotta say, Todd Spitzer and whoever's organizing this referendum, that was the best organized signature gathering process I've ever seen. Because there was never a long backup. And at the end of by 3:30, he said, you know, we got over 1,000. In fact, they were running out of petitions. I think they had to leave early, but they got up to 1,300 signatures, which is way more than I thought we'd get. By the way, that also saved the organization $15,000 because that's what they would have to pay signature gatherers. So by showing up and signing there, that meant they've got money to saturate other areas with signature gatherers. And collect another 1,300 elsewhere. We are going to be doing an L.A. County signature gathering event March 28th, which is a Thursday. Details to come. But thank you all for coming out. Many people asking about you, Deborah.
Aw, thank you.
And you know there was a big cheer that we had for you.
I appreciate that. And yeah. I also got a vegan cookie from listener Carl, so that was very nice.
Well, had we known that, we would have... escorted him off the premises. No, I had his chocolate chip cookies. Oh, Eric taste tested him first.
Yeah, I had to be the taste tester. So they passed.
He survived, so I had some. They're actually very good. And thank you. Carl's his name?
Carl.
Yes, Carl.
Carl made one vegan cookie just for you. Huh?
Yeah, but it was big. Mm. Yeah, it was delicious.
All right. Well, yeah, ours were very good, too. Later this hour, we're going to play one clip from yesterday's show because I was really stunned by this. We talked to some people in the audience, obviously, and there were some people there that had really sad stories. One married couple and one man who's a frequent guest on our show, Matt Capelluto, and their children were killed from from fentanyl poisoning. In each case, their kids bought, and they were teenagers, I suppose, bought pills and shouldn't have done that. I know one of them was online. Anyway, it was laced with fentanyl, and they both died. And this is why we have to have this fentanyl trafficking provision in this bill to make it a serious crime and put them in prison for a long time. And if somebody dies from one of these fentanyl traffickers, it becomes murder once they're warned. Walking out of the crowd was a man named Stan Slankowski. And he was the guy set on fire by a woman at a metro stop on the Gold Line. You remember this story? It's from 2022. I know Steve Gregory covered it at the time and wandered up to us and said, I was the guy who was set on fire on the metro. And I was just shocked. And he showed some of his injuries. You got to hear this interview. We're going to have it in the last segment this hour. All right. So don't go anywhere. Pay attention. Another thing going on, which we're going to get into detail next, Gavin Newsom's getting a lot of attention on television news because he's flown to Washington, D.C. And always when I see him hovering around Washington, D.C., you get nervous because something's up here.
He's on CNN right now.
I see him. Yes, you're right. Yes, and this is his scam. They're going to be discussing immigration. He, Biden, and a lot of the other governors. And you can just tell from the graphic here, Newsom says Republicans are not interested in governing. These jackals are blaming the Republicans for the border crisis. Biden's been president now for over 3 years. He undid all of Trump's executive orders. That's what created the surge. This wasn't going on in 2020. It's been going on the last 3 years. 7 million people crossed the border while Biden was president. And their talking point now that they're repeating over and over again, which nobody is buying, but they keep trying, is that it's the Republicans' fault. It's not the Republicans' fault. Biden is the president. If Biden reinstates all the executive orders that Trump instated 4 years ago, we don't have a problem anymore. Look what Greg Abbott did in Texas. I can't get over how Greg Abbott, just by himself, guy's in a wheelchair. He directed his various agencies. They put up cargo containers. They put up razor wire. They've got their National Guard and their Texas State Police down there. And at one spot, Eagle Pass, Texas, where Fox had been camped out doing live, well, Bill Malusian doing live reports for 3 years, at Eagle Pass, it went from 4,000 people a day to 40. 4,000 to 40 because Abbott started putting up barriers and getting the armed patrol units. And he kicked out the federal government officials. Told the Border Patrol, well, the Homeland Security, get out of here. You're not making anything better. Because processing the immigrants, which is what Biden's bill does, when you hear Biden carrying on about, you got to give me the tools, you got to give me the money. What he wants is money to process all the immigrants. That's what he wants the manpower for, not to stop the immigration, but to process them. Now it looks like he's got something he's going to announce at the State of the Union. And I think they're running the ideas by some of the governors, which is why they're having a meeting today. I'll tell you about his plan which he's got to do. If he's got a chance to get reelected, he's got to fix this, because his approval rating on immigration is 26%. So blaming the Republicans is not flying with anyone, not even other Democrats. So we'll tell you about that when we come back.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on Demand, the podcast. All right. So Newsom is in Washington, D.C., and he's already on CNN babbling about immigration, trying to blame the Republicans for the immigration crisis. And it's a total lie. Newsom is such a liar. I don't know what Jake Tapper, the anchor, said in response, but Newsom is such a bald-faced liar like I've never seen. And he really does think he can get by with his hair gel look, good looks, and say anything, and people are going to believe it. Well, it's worked on the boobs in California so far. Here is what Joe Biden is considering, according to one news report. He's considering, and he would announce this perhaps in his State of the Union address, a crackdown that closes the border if more than 8,500 try to cross in one day. Trump used this law. It's Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act. It gives the president broad leeway to block any entry of certain immigrants into the U.S. if the president decides it would be detrimental to the national interest of the United States. The president has incredibly broad power to regulate immigration by himself. And that's why when Biden was saying, oh, I've done all I can do, I need help, he's lying. They lie all day. Newsom, blaming the Republicans, is lying. It's Section 212F, the Immigration and Nationality Act. And if the law says he would unilaterally enact a sweeping ban at the southern border. And this is according to three people familiar with the discussions going on in the White House. Trump repeatedly used the 212F power in office. That's what he used to justify his ban on travelers from Muslim-majority nations. Remember that? And it went through the whole court system, and the courts upheld Trump's decision because it's in writing the president has that kind of power. That's what's been frustrating the last 3 years, is Biden decided to reverse all of Trump's executive orders, and they came flooding in, 7 million illegal aliens, 7 million, and nobody could stop him because the Democrats wanted to back up Biden. And they believe in this mass illegal immigration. Here's how much the Democrats believe in this mass immigration. You're going to be shocked at these two stories. In New York City, about 2 years ago, they passed a law that would have allowed 800,000 non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. These are legal residents, not illegal, but they were non-citizens. And a Staten Island judge, Staten Island judge had actually said, no, that's okay, they can vote. Let me see if I get this right here. Okay. Excuse me. The Staten Island judge, Ralph Porzio, in June of 2022 said, no, they can't vote. You know who appealed it? The mayor, Eric Adams, and the city council. They appealed that decision. They said, no, we want them to vote. The city council had given 800,000 non-citizens the right to vote. The court said no. And then Adams, the mayor, and the city council appealed. So this went up now to the state appeals court, and the appeals court said, we determined that this local law was enacted in violation of the New York State Constitution, must be declared null and void. The judge in this case, Paul Wooten, said citizens have the right to vote in elections. Can you imagine this is controversial? This is how nuts it's gotten in these progressive cities. Of course they want illegal aliens to come in. And of course they want to process them and give them legal residency, if not citizenship, and of course give them the vote. And then your city gets run by the whims of non-citizens and illegal aliens. Suddenly, American citizens have much diminished power. You had 800,000 votes. Well, that could change many races, many decisions that are on the ballot. In San Francisco, a non-citizen, a Chinese immigrant, is sworn in on San Francisco's election commission. How crazy is this? Her name is Kelly Wong, an immigration rights activist who came to the U.S. in 2019 from Hong Kong for graduate studies, unanimously appointed by San Francisco's Board of Supervisors to the city's election commission. The first non-citizen ever to sit on the commission. After California voters approved a measure to eliminate citizenship requirements on San Francisco boards. So people voted to allow non-citizens to serve on a government commission. She can't even legally vote, but she's one of seven people who will oversee the policies that allow everyone else in San Francisco to vote. Can you imagine this? And this is the plan. This is the ultimate plan. You bring in millions of illegal aliens, and one way or another, eventually you get to vote, even if you're not a citizen. And it diminishes. You talk about threat to democracy. What other country lets foreigners come in and gives them the right to vote to determine what? That they could get, oh, I don't know, unlimited taxpayer benefits? And this goes on little by little, day by day, in this city and that city. You know, somebody's appointed to a commission in New York City. They're going to let 800,000 non-citizens vote in local elections. And you don't even notice it. It's incrementalism, what I'm always warning you about. Meantime, even if Biden issues the crackdown to try to save his ass and get reelected, he's already let 7 million people in. And they're never going to go back. Most of them, if they show up for their asylum cases, are going to lose their asylum cases. Because most of them always do. Most of them are fake asylum cases. They don't have any legal reason to be here. They lied. They broke the law coming across the border. Then they lied to border officials by claiming asylum. But because we have such an absurd system, their cases are not going to be heard for many years. Meantime, I saw some video when I walked in. It upset my stomach. I hadn't had lunch yet. Newsom talking to that dim bulb Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, who has facilitated Feeble Joe's plan to let in 7 million illegal aliens. Boy, that was really a Mensa meeting there, Newsom and Mayorkas. Then Newsom goes on CNN to lie on that show, Jake Tapper's show. We will continue. When we come back, we have Blake Trolley coming on. And also, we're going to play the clip of that visitor yesterday to our show at the Honda Center, Stan Slunkowski. He was the guy set on fire by a woman at a metro stop 2 years ago, and always wondered what happened to him. Well, he listens to the show. He drove down to the Honda Center, or I don't know, maybe he took a train. He showed up at the Honda Center and told us his story. Quite stunning, unplanned.
Juan Gabriel.
Juan Gis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royals.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Later on after 4, you can hear the show all over again. Listen to what you missed. John Cobalt Show on demand. It's the podcast on the iHeart app as well. Thank you again to everybody who showed up at the Honda Center in Anaheim to sign the referendum petitions to massively rewrite Prop 47 so that theft is a crime again and drug use and possession is a crime again and stiffen the penalties for fentanyl trafficking and arrange for murder charges against those who sell fentanyl and kill their customers. 1,300 people showed up yesterday to sign. Thanks to Todd Spitzer and the people at the Honda Center for giving us the room there. And everything went extremely well. And it saved that organization $15,000 that they can use to gather signatures elsewhere. So 1,300 John Cobalt listeners showed up and signed. Excellent. We're going to do another one on March 28th for L.A. County, although we had a lot of L.A. people at our Honda event yesterday. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk to Stan Slankoski. We talked to him yesterday, actually. We're going to replay the interview because I was so taken by it. He showed up at the Honda Center, fan of the show. He was the guy set on fire by a woman at a Metro stop on the Gold Line 2 years ago. She walked up to him and had gasoline and a lighter and doused him, set him on fire. And it was very serious, obviously. I couldn't believe he was standing there amongst us, and he told us what happened. And speaking of people being set on fire, or at least an attempt here, you may have heard in Arcadia, a vagrant, he wanted free food at a Carl's Jr. in Arcadia, and they told him no. And then he set the manager's car on fire. He ran inside. Blake Trolley is covering the story, and he's got all the details.
Yeah, John, this is an extremely wild story that broke out in sort of a nonchalant way. This story actually surfaced in an Arcadia Police Weekly report. So you saw a bunch of different crimes, and in there was this wild crime. Nonetheless, Earlier this month, investigators say a homeless man went into the Carl's Jr. here on East Duarte Road and asked for free food. Employees at the store told him no. The man is then accused of returning to the store with a gas can and lighter and lighting the manager's truck on fire. Police say the guy then began chasing the manager with the gas can and lighter, trying to light him on fire. The manager and another employee tackled the guy and held him down until officers arrived. I have obtained video of this, John. It's on my Twitter, at Blake Trolley, if anybody wants to see it. But have a listen. Here's just some of the mayhem in Arcadia earlier this month.
Get the fire! Get the fire here, bro!
And right here, right where you hear those sirens stop in this video, they pan over and what you see is this truck bed, this manager's truck bed, completely engulfed in flames. That truck burned to the ground, burned into almost nothing. Its remains were actually left in the parking lot for a few days. Now, officers were able to arrest the man. He was booked for arson and assault with caustic chemicals. Arson carries an up to 9-year prison sentence. Assault with caustic chemicals carries up to 4 years. I spoke to another person who works at the store who didn't want to be recorded. He told me that that manager has still not replaced his truck. And by the way, for what kind of truck it was a 2023, so almost brand new Nissan Frontier. I took a little research. Those start around $29,000. This guy is a fast food manager. I imagine he's not rolling in the dough, so I'm sure buying this car was a hurdle. A $30,000 car is a lot for a lot of people these days, and we're told that he is still trying to figure that out and that a GoFundMe page could be set up.
That is that is quite a wall of flame. I'm looking at the video on your Twitter account. Good Lord. I mean, that's an incredibly intense fire that was burning in the flatbed there. And then I see the guy pinned to the ground by the cops.
Yeah, he's pinned to the ground by the cops. Now, it could be the cops in that video, actually, or it could be the manager. It's hard to tell because they do wear black at this location. And what we're told is that manager and another employee actually were able to tackle the homeless guy and hold him down until officers arrived. And when you look at that video, you see officers kind of pulling into the parking lot. So it's hard for me just be given the distance to tell exactly who's holding him down.
About 25 seconds in, it's two cops. And one cop is holding him down, and another cop is standing to his side. So by 25 seconds into the clip, the police are there.
I want to point something out, John. If you look at where that truck is situated, you can see that they have that camera kind of coming around the wall. Well, that's not a wall. That's actually the side of a business. There's actually a row of businesses there. And if you listen later in that video, you hear people saying that they're worried that this truck is going to explode. So really think about the danger there if this truck explodes where there's several, 4 or 5 nearby businesses that this truck is parked up against.
Do we have a name on this lunatic?
No, I'm trying to get his name. In fact, I was trying to look into the case more yesterday, and I was told that this is an ongoing investigation. Now, I have reached out to some sources who tell me that the reason his name might not be coming out is he may be linked to other crimes. Maybe they are trying to.
That's what I was getting to. This guy had to have a record. He's 26 years old, they claim, and he just suddenly wakes up in the morning and decides to try to set a truck on fire or try to set people on fire inside the Carl's Jr. because he wasn't getting a free meal. He's got to have a long record. He's got to do bad stuff every day of his life.
John, no, we're definitely trying to figure out his name. I've had my sources look into this. They can't find his name, so we're waiting for that record to surface so that we can see if he has any sort of prior record. Now, I want to say, you know, a lot of times when we get these high-profile cases with the homeless, one of the things I like to do is just kind of go around the area and just see what people have been dealing with. I spoke with a grocery store employee just across the street from this restaurant yesterday. Here's her account of how things are right now.
Food, beer.
She's talking about theft, by the way.
Body stuff, stuff like that.
Are you finding that they're getting violent when they're confronted, like in this situation?
Some are, yes.
What have you seen as far as them getting violent?
Well, they get our stuff and knock it to the floor as they're walking out the door.
Like you're kicking them out and you're saying they're knocking over shelves, stuff like that?
Yes, exactly.
And what, just making a mess that you guys have to clean?
Not as bad as that, but yeah.
Because you're saying they're knocking stuff over. So what do you mean? I'm just trying to get a picture.
put our plants right here, and then as they go out the door, they throw them on the floor and things like that.
While they're being escorted out?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Do you think that the police need to do more about the homeless in the area?
Yes, I do.
What would you like to see?
For all this to stop, and our store here needs some kind of security type.
Now, one thing I want to point out, John, is that when we go into corporate stores like this, they don't usually give us an interview. So this has obviously been an issue where they felt like it was worth the risk to talk to the media. We did that interview inside the store itself.
And which store was that again?
I don't. I want to keep that confidential, as that was one of the things that I had promised. It's very near.
Because the corporate bosses fire people like her who tell the truth. Because, you know, she's scared to death with these lunatics coming in, and she should be. And I like what she said. She just said, I just want this to stop. Why can't they stop? But this is Arcadia. This is LA County. This is George Gascon territory. I really, Blake, if you can find out what this guy's record is and how many times he was spun through the system with little or no punishment, there's no reason a guy like this should be on the street free. He should have been in a mental hospital or should have been in a jail, period. And this has got to stop, period. All right.
Yeah, John. Well, like I said, you know, we looked into this yesterday. Police would not release his name to us. I had some sources try to look into this, and they couldn't locate the case. So we are still looking. This is not something that we're giving up on because we want to kind of see what led us here.
If you can find out, let me know. Because I want to keep on top of these cases. Blake Trolley with KFI News in Arcadia, the crazed homeless guy that nobody in government does anything about. This is where the L.A. County supervisors should have laws, and they should be enforced by Gascon and the sheriff's department and the local police departments, and a guy like this should never be loose. I mean, any of these lunatics can walk around with a can of gas and a lighter and burn somebody to death. Any of them. And some of them do. And that's the story that we're going to give to you after Deborah's news. Next segment. You remember the guy who was set on fire at on a metro train? I remember seeing the video. Steve Gregory covered this. And another crazy vagrant, a woman, walked up and poured some kind of accelerant on this poor man. His name is Stan Slonkowski. And she had a lighter. And he went up in flames. He was up in flames in the metro car. And Stan was at yesterday's event we did at the Honda Center when we were gathering signatures. And he just, like, walked out of the crowd up to us and started telling his story. And it's quite a story. So we're going to replay Stan Slonkowski. You want to hear this next? John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
In the crowd, we had hundreds of people who came to watch us throughout the afternoon, and 1,300 signed the petition. But one man stood out because he wandered up to us, and he said he was the guy set on fire at the metro stop a couple of years ago. Remember, a woman walked up, and she had an accelerant, and she had a lighter. Well, this is the guy. We never knew what happened to him. Of course, the media stopped covering the story. And we don't know what happened to her either. Well, Stan Slonkowski, he's the guy set on fire, and he talked with us yesterday. Listen.
What's your name?
Stan Slonkowski.
Ah, Polish.
Yeah.
Okay.
part Polish, part a bunch of other stuff from Northern Europe.
Where are you from?
Right now I'm living in San Dimas. I've been in the San Gabriel Valley since 1970, you know, mostly in the west side, but in May 7th, 2022, I went to a concert in Pasadena, and then afterwards I got on a train, a Gold Line train east. I had a bicycle with me and my helmet and lights and so on. I sat down, woman behind me said, "You're blocking my view." And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, oh, she just said some kind of a nut. And so I just ignored her. But then she sprayed a liquid on me. I thought it was water because it didn't have any odor. But it turned out it was gasoline. She set me on fire.
Are you the guy that was in the news?
Yes. They didn't put my name in the news.
Steve Gregory did several reports on what happened to you.
Yeah, I was able.
That was the most horrible crime. That was you?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I had to spend 7 weeks at County USC, and they had to take skin off my leg down into my left leg and put it on my arm up here.
Yeah.
And let's see. They one thing I found out, I never had fentanyl before that, but that's what the paramedics give you. And when they gave it to me, I thought this stuff was illegal. And I was lying down, and I went out, and I thought I was dying because you get to see red and yellow patterns. Yeah. And then I found out that's what they use in the hospital, but you know, it's the medical grade fentanyl, but it causes hallucinations.
Right.
I thought at times that the hospital staff was trying to kill me, and I tried to fight with them. They had a tube in my throat, and at one point I got them to take it out, and then they said, "You're not eating enough." So the doctor came and she threw it back in.
Right.
And it was, you know, she said, "Sorry."
Do you remember the moment it happened?
Yeah. When
she set you on fire?
Yes. Oh, yes. I remember that very well. I don't know if Steve Gregory was able to get the video from that, but it would be interesting.
No, I remember
to see that.
Seeing the video.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
No, if I've got the right vent, yes, I saw it because Metro is trying like hell to block anyone from seeing it.
Okay.
And I always think of that case whenever we hear propaganda about, oh, yeah, take the Metro, take public transportation, and it's safe. It's like, no, it's not safe. Crazy lady can set you on fire. And then, so how are you feeling today?
I'm okay. The lasting effects are that I can't close this all the way.
Your right hand.
Yeah, my left hand is okay. My right hand is not.
Right.
You know,
from the burns?
Almost can make it, but not quite. And my kidney function, I was already diabetic. So at that time, my kidney function was about 60%. Now it did go below 30%, but then it came back up. It's about 30%
kidneys
now.
Kidneys heal.
They don't think it's going to get any better than about what it is now.
Did they ever catch this woman?
Yes, and I called the DA's office a couple of weeks ago because I wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And I got the case number and was able to look her up. She's in Linwood, and I looked at the case, and they had hearings scheduled for her. I don't know what all these hearings were about. But one of them,
probably her mental state.
Well, yeah, they had in February. The first one I saw for February was a competency hearing in Hollywood. I don't know why it's in Hollywood, but because the case is going to be in Pasadena.
Yeah.
And then they had another hearing. I didn't go to any of these hearings, by the way.
Yeah.
But they had another one in Pasadena.
At the moment, she's locked up.
Yeah, she's in Linwood.
In Linwood, good.
What was it? She's got another competency hearing scheduled for March.
Yeah, well,
so I don't know.
She ought to be put away for the rest of her life. That's attempted murder.
But
give me your name again.
Stan Slonkowski.
Stan Slonkowski. I'm so glad you survived this. It's so terrible that you had to go through it, and that is the fault of every public official who's created this environment where crazy people could run around and set innocent people on fire on a train. That's just so disgusting, and every one of them should be kicked out of office for creating this atmosphere. But you stay strong, all right?
Right, thank you.
All right, thank you for coming on and sharing the story. Right. That's Stan Slonkowski, and he wandered in to watch our broadcast yesterday at the Honda Center, and he didn't even tell us the story before we spoke with him. I don't know why I picked him out of the crowd. I guess he looked like he wanted to talk, but I had no idea that was coming. And I'm just so glad that he's able to get around. You could tell he's still a little dinged by the whole, after the attack. He was showing off. I don't know if he understood what he was doing there, but his right hand, he can't close his right hand all the way. It's still very stiff. He doesn't have full mobility yet. But I don't know what the background of that crazy woman was. Nobody covers things anymore. There's no follow-ups. The LA Times ever run any stories on this? I'm looking to see. What do I got here? Yeah, one story. One story about eight paragraphs, and that's it. When we come back at right after Deborah's news, small businesses are getting hammered here in California. And this week, they held a press conference at the Capitol because small business owners wanted to discuss
how the taxes are too high, the regulations are too severe, the crime is pervasive, it's costing too much money. It is really difficult to start a business, grow a business, keep a business here in California. And we're going to talk to Senator Janet Wynn from Huntington Beach about what the legislative Republicans would like to do about it. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.